Kapla. From Tridio Media, I'm Father Roderick, and this is the Daily Breakfast. Hey, welcome back to the Daily Breakfast. I started today with a Klingon word, and it's probably the word in Klingon that a lot of people still know or picked up somewhere without really speaking any other word of Klingon. That may, however, change very soon, because last week we heard that you can now actually learn Klingon using one of the, I think, most innovative ways of learning a language, mastering a language, which is Duolingo. Duolingo is a series of courses that you can follow via the internet. You can also download the app on your mobile devices, etc. And it has this very organic approach to languages, where bit by bit you start to learn words, little phrases, and you combine what you already know with new words, and then almost the way in which we learn a language as a child, you start to become familiar with all these different languages. And Klingon is the newest language on their list. It is the second artificial language, you could say, or constructed language, in opposition to the natural languages that just occur in the world around us. But this Klingon is the second constructed language that is offered by Duolingo. You can also, and you may not have known this, but you can also learn High Valyrian, which is this noble language that is used in the series Game of Thrones. You can actually, if you're English speaking, because it depends. The Duolingo always asks you first, what's your current language? And then on the basis of that, they teach you a new language. So for instance, if your natural language is Dutch, then you won't be able to learn High Valyrian or Klingon. But if you're English, then you can start to learn Klingon. But why would you? When I posted this on Facebook, it was one of the reactions in the comments, like, well, I'd rather learn Chinese or Latin. At least that's useful. Of course, people may even differ on that. But why would you learn an artificial constructed language? Well, I have a number of reasons why that could still be interesting. First of all, a constructed language does not mean that it is a fake language. Ewokese, the language that you hear the Ewoks speak in Star Wars, that would be a complete waste of your time because it was never constructed as a language. Ewokese, Ben Burtt, who did the sound design for almost all the Star Wars movies, not the later ones, not the recent ones, but the old six movies, he said that he took like an ancient language from some faraway country and just use sounds, but he never really wanted to construct a language. Same is true for the kind of the bleeps and boops of R2-D2 or BB-8. That's not really constructed as a language. But we have constructed languages that a lot of people are very familiar with. Think of J.R.R. Tolkien. He was a linguist, and he created a ton of very consistent languages that are spoken nowhere in the world. Just in the books, in the fictional worlds of Middle Earth. And so Klingon is also a language that was created for a certain race of aliens in Star Trek. But because Star Trek has been around for so many years, that language continued to evolve with the series. And so there are actually language experts that are working on expanding these languages. And the same is true for a Game of Thrones. In the books, you may find certain elements, but there is actually a linguist that sat down for the TV show to create this language. And it's not the only one. There's also Dothraki, and that's a different language. And there is one of the characters who in the series herself has to learn Dothraki and is gradually getting better at it. And so the evolution of the actual language that was being created while the series was shot was also the evolution in the actress who learned to speak better and better that particular language. And so her accent is also changing, which is amazing. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you can only have in these long-running TV shows where you will see the evolution of a language. It's fascinating. And if you study that a little bit more, you'll get a much better understanding of how language evolves over time. So constructed does not mean fake. It is a real language. It's just spoken by actors in a fictional world, but it's a true, it's a real language. Think of Esperanto, which was a language that was created, I think, in the 50s and the 60s after the Second World War. It was kind of this, came from this ideal of let's have one universal language with elements from all the different language trees in the world and create a common language. It's kind of the new Latin so that everyone can understand each other. And when people understand each other, that will bring about world peace. It was a very idealistic initiative. Nowadays, Esperanto is almost forgotten, and it didn't really become the next universal language. Instead, we have evolved in technology, and we now have Google Translate and all sorts of learning algorithms that can translate things almost immediately in real time. And so, again, it's one of those science fiction concepts from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy or the Universal Translator in Star Trek. Our current technology makes it possible to understand each other even if you don't speak someone else's language. However, there are good reasons to study these strange languages, even the fictional ones. Another important reason why you may want to learn Klingon or High Valyrian is that it is very good for your brain to do that. It is demonstrated multiple times by all sorts of scientific research that if you learn another language next to the one you've learned as a kid, your mother tongue, it increases the number of neural pathways in your brain. And so your brain, of course, uses all these pathways to think and not just to speak a language. Those neural pathways can also be used in general. And apparently, this also can stave off the effects of Alzheimer's disease and dementia by years. So if, for instance, that is part of your family history, then learning other languages can help you offset this, the emergence of symptoms like dementia by many years. Of course, not the only thing. You also need to live a healthy life, etc. But that's a good reason. If it helps you stay clear for another 5 years, then yeah, by all means, go teach yourself some Klingon. I think it also helps you listen. Especially if you want to really learn how to pronounce a language, it's very similar to the process of learning to appreciate music. If you've never listened to classical music and you listen to the occasional, you know, Beethoven or Mozart or Chopin, you might think, yeah, it's classical music. But it won't really register because you haven't learned to listen, to analyze the kind of music. It's just an orchestra. And some people will not hear the difference between, let's say, a John Williams soundtrack and Beethoven. To them, it's all classical music. But learning to appreciate music is literally like learning to taste wine or to taste certain types of food. The more you do it, the more you will discover all the nuances and the subtleties. And with language, it's very much like that. I've discovered personally that to learn a language starts with imitating what you hear. And if you want to do a good imitation, you first need to listen very carefully. And my ultimate goal in languages was always to be able to speak it like native speakers, knowing very well that on the level of the vocabulary and the grammar, I will never make up for the difference of years. If I go to Italy, these kids, they heard Italian from the moment they were born, and so they have had sometimes 30, 40 years to master that language. So there's no way in the world that I can get to that same level of mastery. But what I can try to do is to emulate the sounds of the language, the melody of the phrases, the pronunciation, which is hard and it requires a lot of effort. But I've noticed that if you listen carefully and you try hard, you can actually start to improve. That's why in these movies and TV shows, they have language coaches, people that help with the dialects, with the think of Wakanda, the Wakanda accent in Black Panther. They had a language coach who helped all these different actors from different nationalities to have one consistent Africanish accent. And the same can be done with regular languages. And I'm always it's interesting, but I'm also a little bit baffled that for some people from some countries, it's harder to learn a good pronunciation of other languages than for other countries. In the Netherlands, a lot of people speak English, but they will still have a very easy to hear accent. I have a Dutch accent. If you listen to a guy like Verhoeven, the director, he has a very clear Dutch accent. When he speaks English, you can immediately hear he's actually from the Netherlands, because the way he pronounces, he doesn't. It's almost as if he does not put any effort into changing his pronunciation. The same is true with Italians and French trying to speak English. You will immediately hear a little bit of an accent. It's very small, but it's still a bit of a French accent. Of course, I'm kind of doing the stereotype thing here. But if you look at a country like Sweden, if you a group like ABBA, you hear a slight accent in English, but it's almost like there is something weird about the pronunciation, but it is definitely sounds like English. And so the Swedes are known for their masterful mastery of English. And it's I don't know. So, but the more you learn languages, in my experience, the more you try to learn other languages, including the fictional ones, the more it helps you actually to emulate those languages. And the more different the language is, like Klingon, the more you'll have to put effort into really listening carefully and trying to imitate. And that will help you. That attitude will help you with other languages as well. There's a fascinating video that you absolutely need to check out. I've posted a link in the show notes, or Inge posted a link in the show notes on Tridio.com. It's a language expert. What's his name? I have that somewhere in my notes. I can't find it now. But anyway, it's an accent expert. And he talks about all these different languages in movies and TV series. But he also analyzes what are these sounds that you hear, like the R in High Valyrian. The R, it's an R that's not at all like the American R, which is apparently, according to him, a very rare sound. It's only in the United States of America that they use this R. And apparently kids in the U.S. have trouble learning to pronounce the R. It takes time. Whereas the R, like in perro in Spanish, is a sound that you hear in many more languages, is much more common. And so stuff like that. Also, I forgot, there is a term for words like if someone pronounces, like certain languages use these clicking sounds almost, like p and t. And it's almost as if these sounds are isolated from the rest of their things. And he makes it such a – there are certain languages that have that, that they talk in a – they have these standalone sounds. And he said, you know what? Every villain in every Hollywood movie does the same. And then he shows – he plays a few clips of Snape in Harry Potter. And it's like Harry Potter and – every villain uses these t and p, and almost to emphasize their kind of strange, not entirely normal attitude. The little things like that. He also analyzes. He talks about what's the difference between High Valyrian and Iwokese, for instance, and the Na'vi language of the blue aliens in Avatar. That too is constructed as an alien language, but some of these languages are much more evolved and more complex compared to others. And so the goal of a lot of these linguists is to create languages that are just as complex and also incoherent as regular natural languages. You know, and that's the last thing I'm going to say about this. This even happens in Latin. Some people will say you better learn Latin than Klingon. But you know what? Latin is actually also it's not a natural language, not anymore. It was spoken a long time ago, but what we currently teach people in school or in church as Latin is a reconstructed and partially constructed language. It's reconstructed because we, for instance, don't really know how Latin was pronounced. It's one of the big things of my dad. He would always say, the way you pronounce you, he was part of that, the way we pronounce Latin in church, that's completely, no one would understand you in ancient Roman times. That is a complete – like, and there's even a difference between, like, say, the Italian pronunciation of Latin and the German pronunciation and the Dutch pronunciation. But the way we pronounce Latin is an approximation. It's a reconstruction because we don't have any tapes. There are some linguists that have been able to figure out some of the sounds in Latin because of the mistakes that people made while they were transcribing the language. And so because certain errors, certain mistakes kept recurring and recurring, that gave them an indication, well, probably that word was pronounced differently from the way it was written down. And that's how certain linguists say that Latin had way more sounds that are akin to French sounds. And there were nasal sounds in Latin, which we don't have that in our current pronunciation of Latin. And then, of course, there's the matter of how do you use an ancient language like Latin for modern words? Well, you have to construct these words. You have to, just like in Klingon, you have to come up with words that don't really exist in the Klingon culture. For instance, when you say kapla, it actually doesn't mean goodbye, but it means success. And that's part of the culture of the Klingons. They don't do niceties. There's lots and lots of swear words because swearing is actually something that you're proud of as a Klingon. So, but there is no real word in Klingon for hello. If you would translate literally the Klingon for hello, it means, what do you want? And success has to do with honor. You're like, I want you to be successful. So the culture influences the vocabulary. And the same is true for Latin. It was a language that existed at a certain point in time for things that existed at the time. But how would you say taxi, for instance, in Latin, or rocket, or a camping? Well, that's where the Vatican actually has done something terrific. It has constructed new words in Latin, and a lot of them are descriptive. So they use existing words in Latin to express new words and new terms. And that is another reason to learn these constructed or reconstructed languages. It makes you creative, literally. It creates, again, pathways in your brains. And I've noticed it myself when I first started to learn Italian. My vocabulary was very small. So if I wanted to express my thoughts during an exam, for instance, at the Greg, I'd have to be very descriptive because my vocabulary was so limited that it took me forever to express something that I would easily be able to explain in English or in French because I have a much larger knowledge of that language. But that in itself is a really great exercise for your brains and for your creativity. So there is a list of new words on the Vatican website. And again, there's a link in the show notes on Tridio.com for new words. For instance, how would you translate umbrella in Latin? Umbrellas didn't exist in the Roman times. Umbrella itself is a Latin word. But how would you translate parachute? Well, it's umbrella descensoria. So it's an umbrella that goes down. That's brilliant. A rugby. How do you translate rugby in Latin? It wasn't practiced at the times. It's ludus follis ovati, which literally means an oval ball inflated with wind. Isn't that brilliant? And there was the word for taxi. I have to go to that website here. It was so fun. And this too, reading through this list will help you master Latin a little bit more. Taxi was just great. Of course, there were no cabs in ancient Rome. But how would you order one in Latin? Well, it's autocinetum meritorium. Autocinetum meritorium. So autocinetum is something that moves automatically by itself, auto. China is the moving. And then, what was it? Taxi, meritorium, that requires merit. It requires you to pay. So it's something that moves by itself, auto, but you have to pay for it. Hence, taxi. I love things like this. It's what makes these, you know, studying languages so much fun. And of course, another reason to learn Klingon is that you can show off at parties and you can, you know, yell in Klingon to other cosplayers. But that's just an argument for geeks. I know that most of you will probably not find that enough reason to study Klingon. All right. I'm curious. Have any of you ever learned a fictional language? Are you fluent in Klingon or in High Valyrian or in the Elvish languages in Lord of the Rings? Let me know. Just post something in that language in the comments. And of course, if you're watching this on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. And if you want to listen to this as a podcast, then just go to Tridio.com. There is a link that you can use in your favorite podcasting software. Finally, I've already announced this yesterday as well. We're going to do our first Tridio fun drive starting on April the 1st, which, and that's no joke, is the day of Easter. And we'll have 50 days to raise the funds for two new projects that I am super excited about. In addition to all of this, of course, these programs that we've been doing for years, it's a Lego project that wants to help parents and children and schools to explain the faith using this universal, this new Latin for kids, which is the language of Lego. Every kid understands it, even adults, because it's multi-generational right now. And I want to create like a course, an introduction to the faith using Lego, using small stories. Now, of course, I want to do this with a bit more than just duct tape and glue and some colored paper like I did in the past. I want this to be really something that can be used in schools and in educational circumstances, but that requires resources, which we don't have. So that's the first project that we're going to raise funds for. And the second one, I'm equally as excited about that, and that is to use the language of Star Wars. You know that there are so many religious themes that are part of the Star Wars narrative. And I think it is time for a course in faith, talking about these very important themes in the world of Star Wars and in the world of faith, by using Star Wars as a bridge to, let's say, the Bible and to the Christian and Catholic heritage. And, well, I'm that Star Wars priest, so that is something that I think could really help especially a younger generation to rediscover faith, because it has to do with Star Wars. I have to think about what Norbert Fink did in Germany when he did that evening in his church, talking about faith and Star Wars, and 200 students came that would never go to a mass or to Vespers or whatever, evening prayer in the Catholic Church. So it is a tool to reach people that may otherwise never think about faith. So for those two projects, big projects, but I'm excited and they fit our mission as an organization, we're going to do this fun drive. So keep that in mind. It's happening between Easter and Pentecost. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Kabla.